The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jam-packed we are this morning, and delighted you are here for hour number two of Get Up Live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Graziano's in a tie because we have a special guest today, Cam Jordan, superstar New Orleans Saints. We have lots to get to with him, and we will. Legler's ready to go, though, and so let's roll it. Chrissy, hour number two begins as we get up and get out for the coach of the Lakers. Is there only one place that LeBron can turn to next in L.A.? We will get you there and to the playoffs. Meanwhile, why is Brady's BFF suggesting he deserves the ultimate punishment for his offseason of discontent? We'll get to the bottom of that. Plus, why one AFC powerhouse may have made the biggest mistake ever this offseason. Could it cost them the Super Bowl? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now with this. Frank Vogel has coached his final game for the Lakers, a decision expected to be shared with him as soon as today. Now, they won their last game last night, and afterward, Vogel said he had not yet been told anything about his future.
My reaction is I haven't been told and I'm going to enjoy tonight's game, celebrate what these young guys did in terms of scratching the claw and getting back in this game, getting a W, and we'll deal with tomorrow.
Well, today is now tomorrow. Tim Legler is here. Why does that man look so happy, do you think?
He should be relieved. He doesn't have to coach this train wreck anymore. At any point this year, did you look at Frank Vogel and say, man, he looks like he's having a great time?
No.
I mean, right? I mean, it's supposed to be somewhat enjoyable. I know you want to win, and you're coaching superstars. You're coaching big egos. A lot comes with that. But at no point did Frank Vogel look like he was enjoying himself this year. He does have a championship under his belt. This guy can really coach. He will get another job. He's just not necessarily the right guy for this particular job. And I think that is why he had somewhat of a smile on his face. But he's going to be sleeping well pretty soon for the first time in months.
It's worth pointing out, because of the peculiarities of that season, it is well less than two calendar years since he led that team to a championship. And yet it is clearly a situation, I agree with you, where they're doing him a favor by letting him go. Is there a person that you think can make a difference there? Is there one person you would have, if you were them, who you'd be looking
at? Way too early to start throwing out names. I think it's more important to look at what do they need to do in terms of their mentality about how they're going to rebuild with LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook, assuming all three of those guys are there. Green, you need younger legs. Defensive-minded players, and you need three-point shooting. Do you know who led them in three-point shooting percentage this year? If I threw out their entire roster, pick a name.
LeBron?
Dwight Howard. Okay, that's all you need to know about the Lakers' shooting performance this year. He was 8 for 15 from the three, because I was looking to see if any rotational players shot more than 40% from the three-point line.
Yeah.
And they didn't have one. Dwight Howard shot 53% from the three-point line this year. So they need shooting young legs and guys that understand how to put a hard hat on to go out there and compete defensively and understand, look, you're going to miss a lot of games with LeBron and AD going forward. So they're going to play out of the lower half of the playoff seed, no matter who takes the job, because those guys don't play enough in the regular season. But you've got to rework roster 4 through 15 to give yourself a chance. But I wouldn't even begin to speculate on a specific name to take this job.
All right, as you see on your screen, we'll hear from LeBron noon Eastern today as the Lakers go off into their uncertain future. Meanwhile, the immediate future for the Nets might look a whole lot better right now. The pain-free progress of Ben Simmons' back is fueling hope that he could debut sometime in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, even, Woj tells us, if it's limited to 10 to 15 minutes per game. I'll remind you, the Nets are not yet in the first round of the playoffs. They have to get through the play-in beginning tomorrow night. He will not play in that. But let me put the question to you this way. If they get some contribution from Simmons, if he's able to be out there, let's say they get through this week, and they wind up in a first-round series, most likely, I guess, it would be with Boston, if they come out as the 7 seed, and Simmons is able to give them something. What does he make them?
A much more viable threat to make a deep run in the postseason, maybe even win the Eastern Conference. believe it or not, it sounds crazy because it's 15 to 20 minutes and he's a non-scorer. I get it. But that's one of the reasons you could incorporate a guy who has missed almost an entire year quickly and have an impact, because he's not a shot maker. He's not a guy you're going to have to run sets for. He does two things really well, and they need both of them. One, guards everybody on the court, and they don't have really anybody that puts defensive pressure on the perimeter. He can switch off and guard anybody. The other thing he does, he creates pace with his speed and vision up the floor. And that's not that important for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, but it's really important for the rest of those role players who can get the table set by a guy like Ben Simmons. And then, look, if you're playing a 15, 20 minutes, you figure out a way to get him off the court late in the game so he's not going to the foul line and whatnot. But you can get a guy like this back and have an impact pretty quickly. It's totally different than if this was a volume shot taker and a scorer missing an entire year, and now here we go. We thrust him into this mix because you're going to destroy your team's efficiency because he's going to have too much rust. That's not the case with Ben Simmons, and that's why he can have an impact.
Right, so let me then quickly ask you the question in the reverse. They will either play Miami or Boston in the first round. If they get through the play-in, they could still either be the 7 or the 8. If they get nothing from Simmons, can you see them beating either of those teams in a 7-game series?
I wouldn't pick them to win it. But look, again, you know, do you have a lot of confidence saying that with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving?
Right.
What are they capable of doing offensively on any given night? They're capable of winning games by themselves, much less when you put them out there together. So I wouldn't say, oh, they have no chance, but I wouldn't bet on it. If they played a team like Boston, for instance, and assuming they win this 7-8 game, which I expect that they will at home, and now you get Boston in a 7-game series, Boston's been the best team in the league defensively for a couple of months. They are going to have a good game plan and how to deal with these two guys. And if you only reduce their efficiency, you know, by 10%, both of those players, you're now going to force the Nets to have to beat you maybe in a different way, which means grind it out, get physical, get dirty, get stops. They can't do that without Ben Simmons. And even with Ben Simmons, I'm not sure that they could. So, Greeny, I would not lay money on them to win that series. Could be very entertaining, could be a long series. I would bet on Boston because I think push comes to shove. I like the team that consistently can win by stringing together tough defense.
All right, stay close. We're going to get Stephen A. in here a little bit later in this hour. We'll dive deeply into some of the other NBA playoff matchups as the season has now come to an end. In the meantime, in the NFL, it took just 40 days for Tom Brady to return from retirement. He will face off against our buddy Cam Jordan and the Saints two more times this year at minimum. Now, Brady's longtime teammate, Rob Gronkowski, had some thoughts on Brady's somewhat brief retirement. Ahead of the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards, which Gronk co-hosted, he was asked which NFL player he'd most like to slime, and he said, I'll have to go with Tom right now, all because he retired and then the debacle of coming right back and unretiring 40 days later. I think he deserves to get slimed for that retirement that he had. So we had a little fun with the whole sliming of it all a little bit earlier today, but let's dive into this a moment here. Cam, you lived in a world for 40 days where Tom Brady wasn't in your division anymore, and now you're back in a world where he is.
Right.
What does he make then? What are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady?
I mean, you know what they are without him. I mean, Mike Evans' whole career prior to Tom Brady, he never even saw the playoffs. And I mean, that's a top-tier wide receiver talent.
Mm-hmm.
With Tom Brady, they win a Super Bowl his first year, they go back to the playoffs. So, I mean, they're a playoff contention type team. And when I think about, you know, what Tom Brady does, he poses problems for defenses. He doesn't get flustered. You know, we already know that, you know, the type of play that he does speaks for itself. He's been, how many Super Bowl rings did he have? Six, seven at this point?
Seven.
I mean, I'm just jealous. I'm trying to get one.
Does he make them the team to beat in the NFC South? Come on.
No.
What was he going to say?
I mean, they can win the Super Bowl. They can go deep into the playoffs. But if I serve my memory correctly, in the last 2 years, what's his record against, you know, a black and gold team?
I mean, 0-4, right?
In the regular season. Yeah, I'll say 4-5. You know, 1-5?
1-4.
1-5?
Well, the playoff game.
Right. So we say regular season.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter because they get to the playoffs and they win big.
What do you think, Swagoo? I mean, the sliming of it all aside, his return and all of the things around it here. And I mean, the Saints with Jameis back, look, it's worth reminding, and we'll get into them a little bit later. And here's Cam Jordan, by the way, sacking. What was that like, by the way? Yeah. Well, what does Brady say to you when you get him down?
Nothing. Come Nothing. On.
You don't say a word.
You know Tom has a phenomenal life. He doesn't actually care that he gets hit. Come on.
He looks mad to me when he gets hit. Does he not get mad?
He got mad enough to break a tablet or something like that one of those games. But, I mean, he also lost that game. He got goose egged. I mean, you lose a game, you know, 9-0. We win games 9-0. Come on. I mean, that's an accomplishment in itself.
That's true.
How about it, Swagoo? In an NFC where we talk so much about how loaded the AFC feels right now, Brady's return, you're not sitting next to Cam. I am. So you can say it, and if anything, he'll get mad at me. What does Brady make the Bucs right now with his return?
The favorite in the NFC South. I love Cam. Okay. Me and Cam talk more than we talk on TV, but he makes them the favorite in the NFC South. Now, with that being said, obviously, the unknowns about what Jameis will be for a 17-week season, which I think he's going to be very good. As you know, Groz and G, last year, I thought Jameis would have a phenomenal year and unfortunately suffered an ACL, but I think he's going to make the Saints, obviously, that team in that division that is either going to take the mantle from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But right now, because of Tom Brady and him coming back out of retirement, and I'm sure Cam can agree with this, out of all of the things that we talk about with Tom Brady, the level of consistency. The consistency is what has made him great. The ability to play even keel at a very high level for an extended period of time throughout a season, no matter what's transpiring from week to week. And I think that's what players respect more about what he's been able to do throughout his career, and it's manifested 8 Super Bowls. So it's worked, obviously. But there will be competition out of that city of New Orleans this year if Jameis can stay healthy with Michael Thomas returning. And obviously, we know what this defense is and will be going forward.
We're going to talk about the Saints a little bit later and Winston in this hour as well with Cam here. But the biggest change in Tampa turns out not to be the quarterback, but the coach. And we will wait and see how that impacts everything.
Right. And Byron Leftwich will have full control of the offense. It won't be Bruce Arians' offense. So we'll find out, you know, how he does there. Changes on the offensive line, right? They may not have Gronk. I still think he probably comes back, but he says he's not sure. They won't have Antonio Brown, not that they always had him anyway. But, I mean, some changes on defense, too. This is – Brady went there, and it was ready-made. It was insert quarterback, win Super Bowl, and that worked out. And then last year they brought everybody back. So there's a level of change here that hasn't been in play for the Buccaneers the last couple of years, and I do agree that the Saints will be better.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what Swagoo's saying. I didn't hear.
Well, both of their starting guards gone, which is right. There is enormous amounts of change there. Let me leave that thought for a moment. We have much more to do. We'll talk about another legendary quarterback trying to get another championship late in his career, and that's Aaron Rodgers. It was 2 years ago they drafted his replacement. They're still not quite sure how that's working out. We'll dive into it as we continue. Plus, did the Chiefs make an enormous mistake trading away Tyreek Hill? I will ask someone who has played against him that very question. We're rolling today. It's Get Up on ESPN. And our feature with Cam Jordan here today is going to be called Spy Cam. Well, you will tell us the most interesting thing you're looking for with a couple of different teams, Cam, in the NFL. Let's start with your team in New Orleans. What should we be spying right now?
A healthy Michael Thomas. Mm. I mean, come on. Mike T was the Offensive Player of the Year, rookie Offensive Player of the Year. Nothing in me says Mike T isn't. It hasn't just been stewing in the lab for the last year and a half. He gets back to the field healthy this year. He's taking over the game again.
I think people forget just how productive he was when healthy. Next up is Baltimore. What are you keeping an eye on with the Ravens?
El Freaky. I mean, come on. It's Lamar Jack. I mean, he's stellar. He's fast. He's exhilarating. But he's also an MVP of the league as well. I mean, when you think about what he can do, the impact that he has in each and every of these games, plus we're not even going to throw in, it's like a contract year for him, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like it is.
It is.
I mean, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get even more production. I got them, you know,
in my mind, the underdogs. Plus, bring back J.K. Dobbins, and all, like, three running backs got hurt last year.
Yeah, they were all hurt last year. And the last one I want to ask you about is Devontae Adams as he transitions away from Green Bay to the Raiders. What impact do you think that has on Rodgers and the Packers?
Man, I mean, I've only said it before. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has won with or without Devontae, but Devontae is a huge loss to the Packers. I don't know. Other than Randall Cobb, who's the receivers that they have over there?
They still have Alan Lazard, right, Dan?
They do.
Yeah, so
there we
Lazard.
Go. They lost Devontae and Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Correct.
That's tough, but they still have Aaron Jones. I mean, and I'll say they still got Aaron Jones. They got Dylan, so I think they still can do a lot.
They have pieces. The tight end will come back healthy. But, Marcus, how about it? I mean,
Aaron.
And they have Aaron Rodgers. But you know, look, sometimes we say, well, the quarterback makes the receiver. Sometimes we say the receiver makes the quarterback. In their case, they felt like such a duo. It felt like it really was a matter of both of them somewhat equally. So now what in Green Bay without Devontae, Marcus?
I got to figure it out, G, because, listen, the last sample size we have when a team took Devontae Adams away, which was the San Francisco 49ers after he went off for 90 yards, the Green Bay Packers couldn't move the football. And I know they're going to address some things in this offseason and add wide receivers, but it is not the same. And you know I say this all the time. Every stadium you walk in where there's a jersey of a quarterback hanging up, usually it's a wide receiver right next to it. And this was the tandem. This was one of the most prolific tandems to ever play the game together in what they did. We know Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal. We know Devontae is phenomenal. But separation was Devontae Adams' calling card. He was able to get open. And when he wasn't open, he had enough of a body to go up and make contested catches, which gave Aaron Rodgers a comfort level in Devontae Adams, obviously, as we saw play out year in and year out. I don't know what they're going to be. I know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be good. I don't know if the Green Bay Packers offense is going to be as good. And with that being said, after everything that took place, the only result that anybody is looking for out of Green Bay is a damn Super Bowl. It ain't winning a playoff game. They've been to the NFC Championship. They've had a lot of success. They've won 13 games. They've got a first round bye and first seed in the NFC. Nobody cares about that in Green Bay anymore. It's either a Super Bowl or it was a waste of time for the last 2 years with us determining or trying to figure out if Aaron Rodgers was going to be their quarterback long term.
So the draft is obviously just a few weeks away.
Right.
It is a receiver deep draft.
That's what they tell me.
Is that the direction they go, or are there other moves they can still make here?
I'm sure they'll come out of the draft with at least one or two new wide receivers. They often do. What they don't do is take them in the first round. Only once since 1988. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see what they end up doing there. I think the tight end position is a place they could look also early in the draft. As well, but yeah, they need somebody. Their head coach Matt LaFleur said it at the owners' meetings a couple weeks ago in Florida. They need somebody, you know, with some speed, with some explosive. Lazard is a good player for them. He's like an enforcer type at wide receiver, right? Yeah. Cobb is an older guy who plays the slot. So yeah, there's a hole there, and they have to fill it one way or the other.
If you're looking for speed and explosiveness, that would take us to Tyreek Hill. Let's talk about him.
I can't get him.
Another superstar receiver. No, he's not available to them. You see him now in that Dolphins. Jersey going to take some getting used to. You know by now. Hey, he was traded to Miami, and they signed him to the enormous contract. He's coming off his sixth consecutive Pro Bowl season. And so I would ask you this, Cam, because obviously this is another team that you faced. It's great to have you here because you are on the field with and against these guys as we speak. If going up against Kansas City, I know you're never scared, but if going up against them, your level of anxiety, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what was it with Tyreek Hill, and what will it be now that he isn't there anymore?
I mean, you know, with Tyreek Hill, they just had so many options, so many ways they could attack you. He's going to burn off the top. You got Travis Kelce, you know, you've got at the time, last time we played them, they had Sammy Watkins or, you know, whatever it was. They had so many ways to attack you. But you're forgetting one thing. Even with the departure of Tyreek Hill, they still have the best tight end in the game in Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. If he's not number one, he's number two.
Right.
You know, you could argue that whatever which way you're going to have. But they've got so many different ways that can still attack you. And they still have the Patrick Mahomes.
What is it like on the field against 15? Like, all this confidence we have in Rodgers without his guy, obviously the similar situation with Mahomes. What is it like going up against him now?
You don't know what you're going to get, right? I mean, you don't know where he's going to be. He can escape the pocket. He can go through the tackles. He can go, you know, he can stay in the pocket. He has all the potential to destroy you in a game, and yet you have to be able to control what you can control.
Marcus, does he overcome that? Like, he's got more weapons to work with than Aaron does in Green Bay, obviously. Yeah. He's got a much more difficult division to navigate. Are they still the team to beat in the AFC West to you?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I don't have them as the team to beat. I got the Chargers as the team to beat. But to your question, G, to your question, I think the Kansas City Chiefs will figure it out. And listen, this is not about replacing Tyreek Hill's production. You're not going to until a guy gets older and grooms and understands what this offense is and the type of rapport that guys had that he had with Patrick Mahomes. And remember this, y'all. This is not necessarily about if the Kansas City Chiefs offense is going to be good. It's about how much are they going to have to change because Tyreek Hill is no longer a part of the offense. And with that change, it may become some growing pains. And let's not forget, we saw this offense with Tyreek Hill struggle a lot last year in the regular season. So I don't just chalk this up as, well, they got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Is that we know they great players. We know that they going to play well. But individuals play well on bad teams. And no, I'm not saying Kansas City is going to be a bad team. There will be a significant difference in how they have to operate offensively because Tyreek Hill is no longer there, though. And if anybody doesn't think that, you ain't been watching the Kansas City Chiefs offense for the last 3-4 years.
You see the names on the bottom of the screen there. Juju Smith-Schuster is another name we forgot to mention. How significant an impact can he make?
I think, you got Mecole Hardman. You get Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I'm going to mess that up three times out of four. And then, they bring in Juju, who's a big body. I mean, I think you can't replace Tyreek. Let's just be real about that, right? His speed, his production, you're not going to find a faster receiver.
What does the world think of this, Danny?
When I talk to coaches and defensive coordinators that have gone against the Chiefs the last couple of years, Tyreek Hill is the guy they talk about. You said you're not scared, but I mean, some of these coaches sometimes did sound scared. Like, this is the most important thing we need to do is make sure this guy does not destroy the game on us. And I think that's going to be a lot different now for the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's taking it to Miami. We will see. We'll talk more about that division as we go. Cam Jordan's with us for the day. As we continue in a moment, to call this season a disappointment for LeBron James would be the ultimate understatement. Is it going to get better anytime soon? Stephen A. Smith. We'll be in our studio answering that question and more. And speaking of answering questions, here we go, Timmy Legs. Hembo's ready for you today. Which NBA team has the longest active streak of making the playoffs? That's the question. See if he gets the answer next. Let's get up on ESPN. All right, we're back on Get Up. And before Stephen A. joins us in just a second, Legler has been agonizing throughout the break. The Portland Trail Blazers didn't make the playoffs this year. They had a long streak of making it every single season. That's been snapped. So as of now, which NBA team has the longest active streak of making the playoffs?
Two teams came immediately to mind, and they met twice in the NBA Finals in the not-too-distant past. Dallas and Miami are the two teams that jumped to the forefront. I just can't remember if Dallas missed a year between Dirk and now Luka's emergence. I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks.
That is incorrect. Oh. It's Boston. It's the Boston Celtics.
And the number's only 8. Okay.
8 consecutive years, then the Jazz and the Bucks. 6 years, and the Sixers are next.
Got
Hembo
me.
Gets a win. That frustrates me.
He had payback. I got the last 2 or 3, so he got payback.
There'll
today.
Be no living with Hembo as a result of this. In the meantime, let's get into it here. Frank Vogel has coached his final game for the Lakers. That is a decision expected to be shared with him as soon as today, according to our Adrian Wojnarowski. The Lakers' search for his replacement is expected to be expansive and lengthy, without a clear-cut front-runner, and we'll continue the discussion here. Tim Legler and, of course, the great Stephen A. Smith makes his way in. First Take is a half hour away. We've done NBA Countdown all season long. I want to say it was Christmas time or not too far after that that you told me this was destined to happen.
Yes.
So now it is going to happen as of today. Where do they go from here?
Well, they're a mess. And so what happens is you can buy brooms, you can buy mops, you can buy detergent, you can buy everything, and that ain't going to work to clean up the mess that's going on right here. It's hard to say. You hear that Doc Rivers' job could be on the line in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. that he can end up in Los Angeles. I have no evidence of this whatsoever. It's just the scuttlebutt that you're hearing, as Tim has heard as well. But in the end, what it comes down to is that you need an executive running the Los Angeles Lakers, and right now it does not exist. I say that in no way to disrespect the great Jeannie Buss, who's absolutely wonderful, but why the hell are you listening to Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis? As I said on NBA Countdown, yeah. if your last name is Rambis, that might disqualify you from having a job right now. That's how bad the Rambises have been, as far as I'm concerned. Somebody needs to say it, so damn it, I'm going to say it, okay? Rob Pelinka, you look very bad. Your mentality was, hey, anybody wearing the purple and gold, their mentality would change. That proved not to be true, and he proved to really, really be struggling since the absence of a Magic Johnson, because we know Magic Johnson was the one. LeBron was coming anyway, but LeBron and AD there, we understand that was about Magic Johnson. And so right now, where do you go from there? You might be stuck with Russell Westbrook's contract. Do you get rid of the next $47 million that he's aiming to make next year? Or do you come to the conclusion that it wasn't his fault, it was really you guys that messed up in terms of trying to assemble that? You can't let LeBron off the hook on this, because LeBron, the player, was an MVP caliber player. LeBron, the general manager, was horrid, because he was the one that okayed and pushed for Russell Westbrook to arrive in Los Angeles, knowing, because of his basketball IQ, mm-hmm. the chances of them meshing together as teammates was not going to work. And then there's the perpetually injured Anthony Davis. That ain't about basketball. That's about finding a strength and conditioning coach. That's about finding orthopedic surgeons, pedicure, you people who get pedicures, manicures, and everything in between, and finding out what the hell is it going to take for him to be healthy enough to play. So it's too many questions to have a definitive answer, but clearly this is a step that they had to take, because this team tuned out Frank Vogel, a credible coach who's a champion and knows basketball and didn't deserve this mess. This basically put him in a situation where they tuned him out months ago.
So I promise you, Legler yelled at me last week, this will be the last time.
I don't want to get asked about him anymore.
The last time I ask you about the Lakers. But is this a team where changing the coach will make any substantial difference as far as their overall picture?
I think what's going to make a difference is going to be a couple things. One, LeBron James and Anthony Davis playing enough games in a regular season to give the Lakers a viable chance to win. And I don't think that's ever going to happen going forward. I just think their recent track record is they're going to miss significant chunks of time. And that's LeBron included. He's just at that stage with all the mileage on that body. He's going to miss 15, 20 games. AD might miss 30. So that, to me, is where you start. And if they're healthy and the playoffs and in rhythm, those two guys are still going to give you a chance in the West. But for me, the bigger thing is the rest of the roster construction. That's what he was alluding to. They're too old. They're not defensive-minded. They have no prioritization of the regular season, meaning anything, because there are a bunch of dudes mm-hmm. that only want to play April, May, and June. Mm-hmm. So this is the mess you're going to find yourself in. They're a horrible three-point shooting team. They've got to remake players 4 through 15, right. Stephen A., because I don't right. think they can do much with the top three.
We can't escape the fact that Anthony Davis, who was shooting in a 30 percentile from three-point range the last few years, shot 18% from three-point range outside of the 30-plus games he missed for the
18%.
Seventh consecutive season. 18%. That is just horrible.
Yeah.
But here's something that's even worse that very few of us bring up, but Legs know this, and when I say it, everybody's going to notice. That front office is a problem in this regard. They want to pick your coaching staff. They want to tell you who to play. So, again, you really, really compromised. I know you hear people like Barkley and others talk, calling them old geezers and what was Frank Vogel supposed to do. Well, guess what? The real issue is Frank Vogel didn't have the cachet to push back in a way that was formidable enough for them to back off, because they're telling him who to play. They're telling him how to coach. You can't do that. What you're supposed to do is hire the coach and let him do the job and judge him accordingly. They literally took the job away from him while keeping him on the sidelines. That can't happen.
Can I just say one thing about Frank Vogel?
Yeah.
The man's going to sleep like a baby.
That's right.
Okay. Tonight, yeah. He should be relieved. He's got a championship on his resume.
That's right.
He is going to coach again in this league.
And he should.
And he's going to go to a more appropriate team that he can actually coach, develop players, and put forth the defensive juggernaut on the court. He'll get that opportunity again in the future. This was not fair to Latis at his feet.
Okay, so then let's get to the teams that are still playing. And let's get to the report, Stephen A., that we had on NBA Countdown yesterday from Woj, that the pain-free progress of Ben Simmons' back is fueling hope that he could debut sometime in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, even if it begins in a limited role, like 10 to 15 minutes per game. He will not play, to be clear, in the play-in tournament. The Nets will play tomorrow night. If they win, they go into the first round. If they lose, they play again on Friday. Stephen A., if they get a meaningful contribution from Ben Simmons,
they go to the finals. In my opinion, they can go to the finals. That's how much I think about Ben Simmons, the player. But I'd be remiss in neglecting this point. I have a reputation. I'm going to give it to you like I call it like I see it. But I don't get into people's personal life. I don't want to know your business. It's none of my business. The exception is Ben Simmons. What the hell were you doing? You ain't played since last June. How you got a back problem? What the hell were you doing? I want to know the answer to that question. Because you suing for $20 million. You filed a grievance for $20 million. You want your $20 million even though you didn't play a game. It was supposed to be mental health issues, and we take that very seriously for those who really have it. For those who don't, that's a different subject for another day. But now you get to Brooklyn, and it's a back injury. What the hell happened? You were driving up the turnpike, I-95, and in the car seat, it wasn't cushiony enough, and you hit a pothole or something, and you hurt your back. What the hell happened? That you have a back issue when you haven't played a minute, a second, since last June. We have a right to know that as basketball fans. We got a right to know what the hell were you doing that you hurt your back. You ain't playing any games. What you do? Like, I mean, hell, did you slip in a tub? What you do? I don't know, but I got a right to know that because something don't make sense. Having said that, if that brother's healthy enough to give you 25 minutes as a stout defender and playmaker. We know he can't shoot. We know he don't want to shoot. Don't matter. If he can be a stout defender and a big-time playmaker, the Brooklyn Nets come out of the East. I don't think he can do it based on what they're saying. Mm-hmm. There's shots in his back. But if he could, for 25 minutes a game, that's all Kyrie and KD need to get you to the finals.
I agree because he's one of the only players you could incorporate after a year off and just put him in without worrying about disrupting rhythm because he doesn't need shots. He's not a guy that's going to isolate. He's not a guy that's a high-volume shot taker. You don't have to do anything offensively to, you know, facilitate for him. He creates pace. He spoon-feeds role players easy shots, and he can guard anybody on the floor. I'll even say, he said 25 minutes. I'll even say if Ben Simmons plays 18, 20 minutes a game, and he stays on the court, that could be enough of a difference to give a porous defensive team enough defensive resistance to make a legitimate run at the
Eastern Conference. Because they can score 120 a night in their sleep. That's why. This is not a team that struggles offensively. At any moment, they can turn it on. You do not want to be in a close game against the Brooklyn Nets. Because not only can KD and Kyrie hurt you in a multitude of ways offensively, they ain't going to mess up at the free throw line.
The only thing I'm upset about, I don't see any scenario now, Stephen A., we talked about this, that we get Brooklyn-Philly. And I wanted it so bad.
I know.
I don't see it
Philly
happening
could lose
now.
The first round.
I know.
The way you get it is if Brooklyn loses in the first play-in game, then wins the second. They become the 8 seed. They would then have to beat the 1 seed,
right.
Miami, and then
they
play the winner
beat Miami,
of 4-5.
And Philly beats Toronto, which might not happen either. So well, it just doesn't look like
doesn't
that
look,
path.
So let's
exist.
Go to them, Stephen A., and I love asking questions to which I already know the answer.
Yes.
Which one individual is under the most pressure of anyone in the NBA as these playoffs begin?
James Harden. James Harden is holding a lot in his hands. First of all, James Harden is looking for at least a year down the road, signing a $200 million contract. You don't get it done in Philly. You don't come close to getting it done. That ain't going to happen. Doc Rivers' job may be on the line, unfortunately. That's an issue. But here's my biggest thing. Daryl Morey's on the line. You traded Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, Ben Simmons, 2 first-round picks for James Harden. So the one reprieve that Daryl Morey gets is if they don't if they don't play Brooklyn. Mm. See, if they lose to anybody else, you could blame Doc. He going to blame Doc Rivers. Not literally him directly, but I'm saying the organization, you know, they're going to point the finger at Doc Rivers because Daryl Morey and James Harden would prefer to have Mike D'Antoni. It's the worst kept secret in the NBA. Everybody knows this. They want Mike D'Antoni to be their coach. You can pull that off justifiably, in their minds at least, if you lose to somebody else other than Brooklyn. If Brooklyn were to go against Philly, ain't nobody think about Doc Rivers. That got nothing to do with Doc Rivers. That's on Harden and Daryl Morey. Mm-hmm. You can't escape that accountability. So if they end up circumventing Brooklyn, they get away with stuff.
To get there, they have to get through Toronto. You just mentioned it. I want to make sure everyone watching is aware of this. Matisse Thybulle, who's an incredibly important piece of the Philadelphia puzzle, is not eligible to play games in Toronto because he's not fully vaccinated. He can't get into the country. So if that series goes long, he will miss all of the games in Toronto. Do the Sixers win anyway?
I don't feel confident in saying it. You want me to go Sixers and seven, I will. Mm-hmm. I don't feel good about it. The people in Philadelphia don't feel good about it right now either. Hembo gave me an incredible number earlier. You know, James Harden in the last seven games has two more made field goals than turnovers. I mean, that's the level he is playing at right now. He doesn't beat the initial defender. He's not finishing in the paint. And he's going to face a level of scrutiny from the media and the fan base if he struggles early in that first round series against Toronto at home and they drop, say, game one, and he plays the way he's been playing. He's going to find out something about the city of Philadelphia and the way react to that he has never experienced in his life.
Ever.
It's totally different level of pressure. He answered the question right. It's James Harden. You couldn't even make a legitimate multiple choice question out of that question about who's got the most pressure. It's James Harden, period.
Let me say this. We're not calling anyone dumb. Let's be very clear. No, nobody's dumb. But Thybulle and his vaccination issues might be one of the dumbest things I have ever encountered in my career covering the NBA. Let me get this straight. You took the vaccine, but you didn't get the second shot. I mean, at least Kyrie took a position. Right. I mean, I ain't taking it. No, you took it. Right. You just didn't take the second shot. And that's why you gonna miss playoff games in Toronto? That has got to be, I mean, when I think about stupidity, I mean, just genuine stupidity, I'm struggling. I'm going back in all my years of this kind of stuff that I have covered in the history of sports. You took the vaccine but didn't take the second shot, and that's why you're going to miss the playoffs? I mean, I just can't believe how dumb that is. And by the way, we can't absolve the Sixers from their stupidity, because how did you not make sure he got the second shot since he took the first shot? I mean,
especially when they started to head toward this collision course.
Yes. Yeah.
Starting 2-3 weeks ago, you could see, like, this could happen where you get the Raptors in the first round. You know, you weren't going to be a one seed. You could get that team,
right,
and they end up with him. So, like, Kyrie was principled with Thybulle. It almost sounds like lazy.
Yeah.
He just didn't feel like going again.
It is a mess. I have to let Stephen A. go. They're yelling at me. 16 minutes from right now, first take starts, and then we will be together Wednesday night for our play-in games. You're the best, Stephen A. Thank you very much. Again, those are our games Wednesday night. Here we go. It starts 7 Eastern Wednesday. We got Trae Young against LaMelo and the Hornets. So Hawks-Hornets. That's the East 9-10 game. Then the West, we got the Spurs and the Pelicans. The losers' seasons are over. Don't miss it. It starts Wednesday night. We'll have a full NBA countdown getting you set for all of the action. All right, coming up, Cam Jordan's on his way back. His Saints were 5-1 last year before Jameis Winston got hurt. So what do they have in store for this season? He'll answer that question next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back on Get Up with Cam Jordan in our studio today. Let's talk about his team, the Saints, who begin this season with a new head coach for the first time since 2005 after Sean Payton's retirement. The defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, will take over as head coach in New Orleans. But while it is a new coach, it is an old quarterback, if you will, or at least 1 year there in New Orleans. Jameis Winston returns. And we were talking in our meeting before we came on today that when Jameis Winston was healthy this year, your team looked awfully good and he looked awfully good. So with the return of Jameis Winston, what is your expectation for your team this season?
To be better than we looked at the beginning third of the season last year, right? I mean, we think what we were able to accomplish, we were 5-1 with Jameis. You know, we end up being, was it 9-8 at the end of the year. And we played with three other quarterbacks after he left, right? After he left the game with the ACL versus Tampa. I think that we're still poised, and we also get back guys like Mike Thomas. If Mike Thomas is our number one, he's healthy, he is our number one, he's a top-tier receiver. You bring in, you know, Marquez Callaway, that's great. Deontay Harris showed up this year that became more than just a returner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that we're in a strong position. We bring back Tre'Quan Smith, who's probably one of the better receivers that doesn't get mentioned at all, just in terms of the way he's able to block and affect the game.
Well, because we're just running low on time. Jameis is a fascinating person to me. He's been very famous for a very long time, and yet I don't feel people really know him. You do. Tell us about him. What is Jameis Winston like?
Jameis, there's nobody more bought into any situation than Jameis is. When I say more locked in, I mean, it's probably why he's so, like, memeable, so, like, you know, he's going to give you something, because he's not even like, oh, he's semi-bought in, 1 foot out. He is all the way bought in from the moment he says football. I mean, that's just the type of guy it is. I mean, he is locked all the way in on every speech, every conversation. If you talk about Saints football, from the moment he got there, he was fully locked in. And I'm talking about, like, wide-eyed and, like, processing all information, which sometimes can get the better of him if you get him on off picture. But he's 3,000% bought in. If you say, hey, we're going to run this ball, he's going to try and do it himself.
Marcus, you and I both had high expectations for him last year in New Orleans. And generally, he was living up to them before he got hurt. What can he do?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
He is one of the top 5, top 7 talents at the position in the NFL. And obviously we know what Jameis Achilles' heel was, and that was turnovers. And I tried to tell everybody, under Sean Payton, he would not throw 30 interceptions. It would not happen. And now that talent starts to come to fruition. Now, obviously, Sean being gone, you want to see if it stunts any of that growth that we saw. But Jameis was playing well. He was taking care of the football. And, gee, if you don't mind, let me go into host mode. Can I ask Cam a question? Because I really want to know this, because he was there day to day. Cam, the emphasis on him taking care of the football, did you see that, like, manifest in practice between him and Sean? Or what type of stuff did Jameis do in order to address which he knew was his biggest problem?
Man, I mean, you think about that year that, you know, he sat behind Drew, where he saw Taysom play. If anything, that relights your fire to play. That relights your passion. And I don't think it needed to be relit. I mean, he knew exactly what he came to do. There's been quarterbacks who's had, you know, 28, 29 interceptions and then got paid. Jameis threw 30. But he still threw, what, 5,000 yards that season? So you can't tell me. I couldn't look around the league and say he wasn't a starter for some teams. We just happened to have Drew Brees. He decided to take a year and really take a lesson from one of the greatest to ever do it. So now you put him in position to start, and you see what he was able to do his first six, seven games with us. You can't tell me he's not going to be better.
So Dan, what is your sense here? As people looked around at this, he was not the guy that got the attention that we thought. He was not the guy that got all of the – again, he's coming off the injury and all the rest of that, but we saw all these high-profile quarterbacks moving around. That one got less attention than many of the other moves, but maybe it winds up being one of the most significant.
Yeah, and I think there would have been a market for him. I think if in a different world where maybe the Saints get Deshaun Watson, I do think there are people that end up interested in Jameis Winston. He just turned 28 in January. He's going into year eight. We're talking about guys who are 36 and 39. I mean, obviously, these are, you know, Hall of Fame caliber guys. But Jameis Winston hasn't had his career yet. He's had a lot of career, and he's had an interesting one. But, yeah, the number one pick, Tampa Bay not bringing him back. The year that you mentioned, sitting behind Drew Brees, all that he must have learned from that, from working with Sean Payton in that year. Yeah, there's a lot left for this young man.
You were telling us about the day that he got hurt and the game that he got hurt afterwards.
I mean, think about it. He gets hurt. We win the game, and he's on the crutches going in dancing. I mean, I'm sure there's a video somewhere of it. He's dancing with the team because that's how bought in he is. He's not a one pat leg in, one pat leg off, you know, about to put it on. No, he's all the way in, and it could be 5 o'clock in the morning. He's fully dressed.
We will have Cam back here with us again tomorrow, so we have a lot of fun with him as we roll along. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up top of the hour here. The Lakers have done the expected. They're letting Frank Vogel go after their season finale. Is that a job people even want anymore? Molly, Stephen A., J. Will, Kendrick Perkins. Talking about that and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, don't miss the 26th annual WNBA draft tonight on ESPN and the app. The Atlanta Dream have the first pick after a trade with Washington. Coverage begins 8 Eastern from here in New York City, where Cam Jordan is cold. You all right? You're hanging in there?
I mean, I'm warming my hands up now. It's just...
You're not in Arizona anymore.
No,
we will see you tomorrow. We will see you tomorrow. But right now, it's time for First Take here on ESPN.